Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day is casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, April 14th, 2023. My name is Emma Vigeland, in for Sam Cedar, and this is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Hassan Piker. And then later in the show, we will be joined by Francesca Fiorentini, the host of The Bituation Room. Meanwhile, the person who leaked classified war documents on a private Discord server has been identified and arrested. He's a 21-year-old IT tech with the National Guard who seemingly kind of wanted to show off a little bit. More info from the leaks continues to trickle out, though, which is that Israel has been pushing for U.S. escalation with Iran, and internally, there are some concerns about escalation. Yikes and yuck, both of them. More ProPublica revelations about Clarence Thomas. Harlan Crow also bought property from Thomas in 2014, you know, as friends do. Thomas also did not disclose this information. And Slate uncovered that Thomas's mother apparently still lives in the home that Crow bought to this day. The Missouri AG just basically banned trans-affirming care for adults and kids, the emergency rule, creating insurmountable wait times and barriers. The Biden administration asked the Supreme Court to restore full abortion pill access. In Florida, Ron DeSantis has signed the six-week abortion ban, basically a complete ban, into law. It's a massive state. This comes as Meatball Ron's Florida backers are anonymously complaining to the media that the dude hasn't announced yet. Republicans are weighing filibustering's Feinstein's Judiciary Committee replacement. Because, of course... Saudi and Omani negotiators met with Houthi representatives yesterday to work on a permanent ceasefire in Yemen. That is very good news. Grand jury selection has concluded in Dominion's lawsuit trial, against a defamation lawsuit against Fox News. The founder of LinkedIn is financially backing E. Jean Carroll's rape and defamation lawsuit against Trump, and a judge granted her a win in that case, refusing to throw it out based on the timeline of the alleged crime. Or when they met, when it happened, etc. And lastly, Greg Abbott to pardon the person who killed Garrett Foster at a Black Lives Matter protest. The killer fantasized about killing demonstrators over text. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Welcome to the show, everybody. It is Casual Friday. We have finally reached Friday. It's been how many years has it been since Monday? But we have reached it. I'm really excited to talk to Hassan today. I'm grateful that he's coming on the show today. It's been kind of like in the works for a while. We've had him on before, but I just want to get his thoughts more often than I'm able to, honestly.
If I'm not mistaken, one of the last times or the last time Hassan has been on, and obviously I get it, he's a busy man.
Yeah.
Was when he got banned from Twitch
for using
an anti-white slur.
Oh,
and
right.
So because he didn't have his platform, he came on with Sam in the Zoom days of like 2021. For some reason, you weren't here.
I wasn't here. Yeah.
So
That's incredible.
So hopefully higher production value, more fun stuff, more hopefully fun stuff or interesting stuff to get to than that.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking forward to that. But let's start here because I just headlined one of the latest anti-trans actions happening on the state level with the Missouri Attorney General, basically doing what via what was it, emergency rule? Yeah, that's what they call what the AG's action is there, outside of the legislature, just issuing a decree, essentially, banning trans-affirming care, not just for trans kids, which is horrible enough as is, but for trans adults. And we've seen activists on the right make this case publicly, in quotes, in black and white in the New York Times, saying our goal is to ban trans-affirming care for everybody. We just think the kids' part's more useful. And we're seeing that kind of unfold at a rapid pace throughout the country. So in Missouri, that's happening. North Dakota just became, what, the 20th state to take this action? Anti-trans bill passing and signed into law by the governor. And there's a reason, though, that in Nebraska, there has been a bit of a delay in anti-trans legislation, and that is in large part due to the incredible work by this Nebraska state senator, Michaela Kavanaugh, who's a Democrat. She's been filibustering for weeks in Nebraska, filibustering in their kind of unicameral state legislature is really effective because of the way that the Nebraska state legislature is constructed. And this is kind of a part of the way that bills are negotiated in Nebraska. The filibuster can do a lot of damage and bring other parties back to the table to water down bills. She's been holding the line and trying to do that on behalf of trans people. So they don't, without her filibuster, they would just need a simple majority to get this anti-trans legislation through. And she's taken that option away from them. This was yesterday where she spoke about her continued, essentially daily filibuster efforts to squash the Let Them Grow Act, which is an anti-gender affirming care bill for people under 19.
I can't see them because I can only see the other balcony. I can't see this balcony, but I know that they're all up there. I know that the families that this is going to impact are up there. I know that the parents are up there. I know the parents. And I wish I could see you. I wish I could look at you right now while I'm talking. And I'm just sending you all of my love. I'm sending you all of my love. And I will continue to do everything that I can for your children. And I hope that you know how much you matter and how much you are loved. And that I will give everything that I can for your children, just like you would give everything you can for your children. I am going to give you everything I can for your children, and I will continue. No matter what happens today, I will continue, and I am sorry. But there's nothing more I can do within my control. I am doing everything I can within my control, and I am sorry. I am sorry. But you are loved, and you are great parents, and you have shown up for your kids in ways that are unimaginably hard. And I am grateful to you for that. And I am sorry that your children have been brought into this. And I'm sure there's going to be some really fabulous meme of me doing an ugly cry, and I don't care. You are loved. Your children are loved. You matter. Thank you, Mr. President.
I mean, those are tears not just of empathy, but of exhaustion. I know them well, and she must be exhausted. She's taking up this fight, and even though I do believe that a majority of Americans just feel that trans people can just be left alone. Like, let's just leave them alone. They don't get activated with the hatred that the right does. They don't make their voting decisions based on pronouns. I think that's a fiction. But the problem is that just the right is much more institutionally capable of passing through hatred than people blocking it, because they have the ability through these extremist groups to mobilize in a second. That's why over 400 anti-trans, anti-LGBTQ bills have been introduced this year, 2023 alone, and we're not even through April at this point.
And Michaela Kavanaugh, and I also just want to give credit to one of her colleagues, Senator Megan Hunt, who is another Democrat in the legislature. She's a queer woman with a 12-year-old trans child, who has also made some really, really powerful remarks, basically saying, like, one, that she has basically said, I will make it my mission to grind this legislature to a halt, because you're not only affecting these families, you are making an intentional play at harming my child.
Mm-hmm.
You are making it very clear that you are willing to hurt my kid. You are my colleague, and you are my coworker, and you are willing to put my kid in danger, basically.
Because that's what this is.
Yeah, exactly. And so
this is a preventative care block.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, preventative on their end, like it's
absolutely. It's preventing children from access.
Right. That's it. Wasn't said as well, but right. But right. Exactly.
And the other thing is this is kind of reflects sort of what I said about the Tennessee Three, is that this is really difficult work, and this is really hard to do in the face of really overwhelming oppression in terms of being a severe minority in a Republican-led legislature. But this is, if you're in this position, this should be a model for every other Democrat in a blood red state in their legislatures to grind the activity and the movement and the procedures to a halt, because they don't have much other actual power.
In Tennessee, they just used their expulsion on two lawmakers who simply protested. Like, the Republicans are going to use these anti-democratic tools wherever they can. I don't believe in the filibuster, but the Democrats should use filibuster type tactics, all the tools at their disposal within the rules of the game, to stop hatred from being enshrined into law.
Because they made it clear, this is purely power versus power.
Yeah.
This is a knife fight.
Like, exactly.
You have to engage with the rules in front of you.
Right. And that's what she's doing, and she's doing it incredibly well. I also just want to quickly, as an aside, point out that we played a clip 2 days ago of Jordan Peterson having another crank psychologist on, saying that we should be worried a little bit more about the suicide rates of parents who have trans kids, because it's such a burden to have a trans child, which is like you don't have to go too far when you pull that thread to see that what they're arguing there is that, hey kids, if you transition, you're putting your parents' well-being at risk, which is just so twisted and divorced from reality, because as Kavanaugh said there, she has friends who she knows who have trans kids, and they're standing by their kids. That's what it means to be a parent, as opposed to a narcissist who wants their child to be the exact cookie cutter version of themselves that they imagined in their dreams for their lives. That's really on you then, parents. If you can't adapt, you're not a very good parent. All right, guys, quick break. Word from our sponsors before we get to Hassan, because next week is 420, everybody. And Sunset Lake Sebede and the Majority Report are teaming up to turn 420, the classic stoner holiday, into a fundraiser for the Last Prisoner Project, a nonprofit organization dedicated to cannabis criminal justice reform. And MR, us over here at the Majority Report, we will match Sunset Lake's donations to the Last Prisoner Project. So here's how it works. starting today, everything on sunsetlakeseathenbeathend.com will be 30% off with the coupon code 420. Just the letters, 420. And orders over $150 will get a free jar of gummies of their choice included with all of their orders. 5% of all proceeds at the end of the sale will be donated to the Last Prisoner Project. I have, out of nowhere, developed, like, recurring hives. I don't even know what it's from. Maybe it's from stress or something like that. But over the past month, it's really been bothering me. And one of the only things that is helping me is this Sunset Lake here. I have it on my desk. This salve with Arnica, as well as the lotion, which has CBD in it. And I use the melatonin gummies to go to sleep most nights. It really is a go-to for me. So they have a wide variety of great products that I recommend. And I just couldn't recommend them more strongly. Sunset Lake's biggest sale of the year ends on April 23rd. Do not miss it. Head on over to sunsetlakecbd.com to take advantage of this deal and help raise money for cannabis criminal justice reform. Some restrictions apply. Again, this is for the Last Prisoner Project. sunsetlakecbd.com. Use the coupon code 420 to get 30% off your purchase. All right, guys, quick break. We're going to be back with Hassan. We are back, and we are joined by Hassan Piker, who, like, I would plug his work, but you basically can just search the name Hassan, and it's going to be one of the first things that comes up, because you're kind of a big deal.
No, I wouldn't say that. I'm, like, the third best Hassan, at best. You know what I mean? We got Hassan Minhaj, we got Mehdi Hassan. I'm definitely the one that gets canceled the most, though. Like, I'm the one that comes up every week on Twitter on the trending tab, probably.
Yeah, I heard some rumors about you that you own a house.
I do. And ever since that shit got leaked. Dude. Yeah, ever since that got leaked, things have just been on the downswing. Like, no matter what I do, people are just like, this guy's a bad guy.
Yeah. I mean, that seems like sound logic. We go back, when you still were at TYT, I remember chatting with you in the office space. I wasn't out there in LA too much, but, same roots, just you're probably a little bit closer to that because of the whole bloodline thing.
Yeah. You were doing sports, right?
I think I came on and did the sports stuff with Rick, but like I was doing the, you know, I was on the campaign trail, all that good stuff when I first started.
I left, by then,
gotcha. Well,
I think so, yeah.
What's going on with you? I mean, do you have anything you want to plug right off the bat, and then we can get into the news of the week?
Not really. No, I'm just I do the same thing every day. If I wasn't on the Majority Report right now, I'd probably be watching it. So, you know, this is the one rare instance where I get to be on it.
Perfect.
Instead of watching it from the gym or something.
Ah, well, I mean, we get it. You work out. No big deal. Let's dive into it then. So Clarence Thomas, kind of a bad guy. News broke yesterday that he essentially did not disclose that he'd sold a series of properties to Harlan Crow, Club for Growth billionaire, who he just is so close with. And then, like, so that just came out in ProPublica. I would imagine that there's more stuff coming because he essentially stopped disclosing his relationship with this guy in 2004 when the LA Times came out with their own kind of like expose about the disclosures. Then he just stopped recording it and seemingly ramped up his financial connection with this Nazi memorabilia collecting billionaire.
Yeah, I thought in the United States of America, it was okay for black men to be friends with white men. That's what I thought. But turns out, I guess we've moved beyond that. I guess we're going back in time. You know, Clarence Thomas is a baller. Okay. He was going on the lamest, I mean, the absolute lamest vacations, known to man with Harlan Crowe. Have you seen the photos? I mean, they were literally, yeah. Like, at first I thought they were doing like Jeffrey Epstein shit. And then I realized like, oh no, Harlan Crowe actually is just like, he's a billionaire or whatever. So like, of course he travels in Jeffrey Epstein style, like yachts and cruises and private jets and whatever, but they're like going to, you know, Thailand together. And then it's like a family photo. And then Clarence Thomas and Ginny are like on the side.
Yeah.
So at first I thought to myself like, oh, they're doing like shadowy sex stuff. You know what I mean? They're doing mm-hmm. like butt stuff for sure. And then I saw those family photos and I was like, oh my God, it's way worse. I think they're like legit friends.
Yeah,
which is very weird.
It's not that weird, though, right? I mean, they have the same values, but friends don't buy. I mean, again, as a homeowner, right? Let's return to this. You're one of the people who would understand.
That's why I'm defending them. Me and yes. Harlan Crowe are very similar.
You guys are. Yeah. I mean, like, that's one thing that you have in common. Do you also have a house that you purchased from a Supreme Court justice that you rent out to her family members?
I do not. I'm working on it. You know, I thought to myself, Ketanji Brown Jackson, she's probably going to be a communist. Obviously, Joe Biden is pretty much FDR reincarnated. So I suspected that like his Supreme Court pick was probably going to be one that reflects my values. I mean, I am very similar to Harlan Crowe in the sense that I also have memorabilia.
I was going to say
things that I despise, like immediately Master Chief. Bad guy, okay? Very bad guy. Have his helmet right there. I look to it sometimes and ponder and think to myself, like, you know, this is the great evil that he did against Legion. And then, of course, I have the USSR Ushanka back there. I look back at that to say, like, wow, I mean, just awful stuff that those guys did. And then the Antifa book as well. Like, all the stuff that I have back there, pretty much, you know, just like Harlan Crowe has the you know, the signed copy of Mein Kampf.
Yeah, that's a pretty rare piece of memorabilia. You have to go out of your way to buy the signed copy of Mein Kampf, I would say.
Yeah, no, I think he just really likes Hitler's writings and what he... What he delivered for the medium was really, really huge in, like, racial screeds, I think.
I mean, the prose is just out of control. That's why
he got it.
He got it for the prose. And the other thing, do we have this of Charles Murray? I'm sure you saw this, Hassan. But Charles Murray, known, like, skull measurer, race science guy, a bell curve author, dedicated not one book, but two books to Harlan Crowe. So like
that's my favorite.
Yeah,
that's my favorite thing. Like when you're rich, like it's so weird. Like it's like you're a rich guy, why don't you do like fun shit? Like why is it that you're so hyper focused on like, you know, fascist stuff and like race perverts that you pay money to like write books about?
Because they're weird, you know, sniveling losers like this. So here I mean, even the way human accomplishment, the pursuit of excellence in the arts and sciences, 800 BC to 1950. First of all, anybody that like does sweeping historical books that aren't focused on a specific time and try to like make grand claims about humanity in large swaths, kind of a red flag in and of itself, because you end up just whittling racial and ethnic groups down to crude stereotypes, although that's Charles Murray's kind of thing. But here it is.
Yeah.
To Erwin Stelzer, Charles Krautheimer, and Harlan Crowe, it turns out...
That's the Avengers squad of, like,
yeah,
the most...
No, he says, turns out I have brothers after all. That's what he calls them. Charles Murray and Harlan Crowe, bros.
Charles Krautheimer, didn't he die recently? Like, he died a couple years back?
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was... Yeah. I mean, he was something else. You know, great, love giving Pulitzer prizes to guys like this. I think one of my favorite parts about I would say Murray's work is that it just like is so easy to just like look up and absolutely eviscerate with like one study conducted in India in between like you know, the noticeable drop off of IQ for you know, in during famine season versus when you know, people are eating properly. Immediately it's just like you eviscerate the genetic component of like race and IQ, and then you don't need to write that book. But of course, when there are billionaires like Harlan Crow out there who will fund you, you will constantly write books like that, because at a certain point, I don't know if it's for the love of the game or if it's for money or maybe both, which of course brings me back to Clarence Thomas. Everyone is talking about how this is like, you know, this guy's getting greased. His wheels are getting greased by Harlan Crow. But I also kind of feel like, I mean, and I feel like you'll agree with me on this. They're just, you know, they have the same opinions. Like, Clarence Thomas wouldn't have gotten to the position that he got to if he didn't believe the freak shit that he believes. You know what I mean? If he wasn't severely interested in like deregulation, playing a profoundly important role in hyper focusing on culture war wedge issues, backed by the Republican Party, like, he would not be a Supreme Court justice if he wasn't the perfect guy for that, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, it becomes kind of like hard the lines get a little bit blurred, where how much of his ideology is informed by these rich guys essentially paying him and validating him, and how much of it is like organic? Because I feel like part of it too is these guys carry water for right-wing reactionary BS, not just because they're true believers, but also because they're reinforced with money all the time. All the money's on that side, and so it's easy to be like, this lifestyle is great for me, and all the stuff I'm saying is validated based on the prosperity gospel, essentially.
Yeah, the way I see it, I think like he probably will look at or suggest cases that like maybe Harlan Crow's friends might be interested in, right? But other than that, I think he's already conditioned to be like the Republican Party's weapon. I mean, that's what the Supreme Court has always been. That's what the Supreme Court will always be. It's always a political tool. It represents the two-party divide. And for the most part, I think everyone that endlessly pontificates on the Supreme Court's like institution and it's you know, what it represents in American democracy is a fucking silly person. It's just, of course, it's always been partisan. But I think, and this is my suggestion, maybe there is another element to the story that we're not looking into.
Mm.
What if Harlan Crow is really into horse porn?
That's a good point. I hadn't considered that yet.
It's like they're united on ideological. Sorry to cut you off. I was being a misogynist. No. I apologize. United on like, you know, they're both. You know, they're both capitalist, rich perverts that love talking about tort reform or whatever the fuck Republicans talk about behind closed doors when they're not talking about race science. I suspect, since we know what we know about Clarence Thomas and his interests that pertain to bestiality, allegedly, and horse porn, maybe Harlan Crow's into that too. Maybe he saw the Anita Hill testimony and was like, that's my shit. That's my guy. That's a lifelong friend I just made right there.
Yeah, maybe you kind of just judge their trips by appearances. You don't know what's going on that super yacht. There could be some freaky shit happening over there, Hassan.
Absolutely.
Why are you being ageist?
No, I think that those guys do freaky stuff regardless.
I mean,
for sure. You know, blood work, that sort of thing.
Yeah, they're all repressed, and that makes for the craziest crap here. All right, let's talk about this this leaker. If because the story's unfolding a bit. The Washington Post and the New York Times ended up digging into who the leaker of this top secret military information was. It was coming out on the private Discord server. Turns out it was a 21-year-old named Jack Teixeira, who came from a military family.
Teixeira, I think, is how you say it.
Teixeira, gotcha. Yeah, he was an IT guy for military communications, and he had some high security clearance. And, like, I'm seeing, first of all, I'm skeptical anytime we're talking about classified information and keeping it under wraps being the highest priority ever, so much so that we need to throw someone in prison. At the same time, though, I'm annoyed at some of the arguments I'm seeing comparing this guy, who seems kind of like a bit of an edgelord, to Reality Winner, to Chelsea Manning, to Julian Assange, to even Snowden. None of this is like actual whistleblower stuff. He wanted to brag to his Discord server and shitpost a lot. Like, there were videos also of him shooting guns and saying slurs. We probably know why the right is probably gearing up to defend him now. I know Tucker had a segment last night because of that. But, like, this was not really for journalism at all. This was for bragging rights, and I think that matters.
I'm a fan of leaks. As I tweeted earlier, I don't care if it's because you saw, like, the American military, you know, eviscerate journalists and civilians from a helicopter, and you were like, this is unacceptable. You know, journalists need to know about this. The American public deserves to know. The world deserves to know. Or because you have like a splinter Discord server full of little groped up shouties. Like, you have a bunch of Discord kittens that are acting out, and they're not listening to you. When you write these really convoluted write ups about American military operations and our level of involvement in Ukraine. It doesn't really matter. I mean, I'm a fan of leaks. I'm a fan of leaks when it's the War Thunder Forum, and, you know, people are arguing on there about the F-16's capabilities, and then they leaked classified intelligence, I mean, or classified information about its, like, missile capabilities, things like that. You know, this has happened time and time again. I like it when the U.S. military has, like, secret bases all around the world, and they use Strava when they're running around the base, and then they end up basically drawing a perfect pattern around the base, or when they're using Quizlet in the Netherlands at a nuclear facility to remember nuclear launch codes. All the things that I just mentioned to you are very real. They all happened, and I'm fond of them. So for that reason and that reason alone, I say free my man. You know, all he wanted was to make sure his Discord kittens were in line and knew that he was an important person. Pretty fucked up that the American government is taking a stance against Discord kittens. Joe Biden's silence on the matter is deafening.
Well, he said the leaks were not that consequential, which undercuts the prosecution element then, because I don't think they were inconsequential. Like, I mean, Hassan, I don't know if that's true, though, right? Like, don't you think the value I disagree slightly. I think that the substance of the leaks does matter, and the intention behind it does matter.
I mean,
I don't want this kid in jail for the rest of his life, but yeah.
I know what you mean. I mean, I think it's pretty fun. Do I personally think that the world's largest imperialist superpower is getting owned by a fucking IT journeyman who literally wanted to flex at, like, 16-year-old fans of this other YouTube gun guy, Oxide? Yes, I think that's hilarious. The intention behind it is wrong, sure. He wanted to flex on him, and that's, like, a silly reason to do it, especially when you do it like that, when you just do printouts, basically. You do run into some issues. You could compromise people, innocent people. There could be some you know, legitimate threat to, like, innocent lives and stuff. So on that regard, I think that's always the reason why you got to go with a journalist like, you know, Kenk Lippenstein, right?
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think you and I are in agreement then that it's just, like, ridiculous to, you know, throw the book at this guy. But then there's the other part of the story that I'm gonna stop being sarcastic and you know, make jokes about this for a moment. And that is the real skepticism that I hold for any kind of classified information coming out that Bellingcat has found, especially where, you know, I feel like on the one hand, it is funny to think that, like, the U.S. military has so many leaks and could be compromised like this. I mean, humans are the greatest security flaw in ever any kind of cybersecurity protocol. But whenever I see stuff like this, I like to look through exactly what the information was that was leaked, because I think it gives me a little bit more of an understanding of whether or not the American government intended for it to get out, to be like, listen, we know all of this stuff. Or like when the CIA likes to declassify certain things specifically to flex on the haters. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we did give the Mujahideen Stinger missiles. Like, guess what? And now they're using it against us. But who cares? Right?
Or like limited hangouts, or, you know, largely releasing heavily redacted JFK documents, but to satiate people, but hiding the true story for decades and decades. Like, I mean, we should be skeptical, but the haphazard nature of the leaks is also in and of itself a story, like, that seemed to be pulled from everywhere. Some of it had to do with Ukraine and their need for ammunition. Others had to do with Russia's United States' assessment that Russia has been failing in the war. Ken in The Intercept reported about how some of the documents show that the U.S. is fearful of increased kind of tensions and escalation with Iran, and that Saudi Arabia is pushing it. That part is very interesting to me. But again, like, the reason that the leaks don't seem to be tailored to or tethered to any kind of theme here is because it was just like whatever this kid could get his hands on, it seems like, to show off. But the in principle, I am totally in agreement with you. I just think this is like a weird case that we've never seen before.
Yeah, but I do ultimately think if it's not like the American government deliberately revealing this information, which it very well might not be, and it could just be as stupid as what we think it actually is in the way that the media is reporting it, then I don't know. I'm still conflicted on it, because this is like the kind of intelligence and the kind of information that I'd like to know about, and I think the public should know about. I don't really care if it is I don't really care if it's just done with the wrong intentions. Because, hey, maybe sometimes we learn things that are, that are truly profoundly important for us to know, we never would have otherwise. So,
let's, speaking of free speech and open access to information, we had a bit of a falling out from some of the two biggest free speech warriors in the country, in Elon Musk, the guy helping Narendra Modi censor in India, and Matt Taibbi, the free speech warrior and journalist who used a billionaire as his source, allegedly. And
I hate to see my two favorite kings fight like that. You're right.
Right. Participated in like a limited hangout that if Taibbi had been working on behalf of the CIA and they said, hey, here's a bunch of information, not everything is being given to you, and also you have to publish it on CIA.gov to give us publicity, because we want to show that the CIA is rebranding, we're now very much pro-democracy in South America, and we're going to help you. Elon Musk, please come help, or sorry, Taibbi, please come and help us make that case. It's a little different, because that's the government. But I would think that if you're on the left, you understand that major social media companies and capitalists and billionaires also have a detrimental effect on society, not just intelligence agencies. That's kind of exactly what he did, except he just did it with Twitter. And now Elon Musk threw him under the bus in 0.2 seconds after he embarrassed himself defending Elon Musk to the other great Hassan, Mehdi Hassan on Peacock.
Yeah. Very sad to see where Matt Taibbi has gotten to. I used to be a big fan. Another frequent guest on the show, Alex Perine and Matt Taibbi, used to have a show called The Tarfa Report. That's how big of a fucking fan I was. I used to listen to them. And honestly, I mean, Matt Taibbi and his vocal fry makes it unlistenable. Like, sorry for the misandry, but, straight up, he's like a hard listen. That's how big of a fan I was. And honestly, it's really sad to see him fall from grace like this, but I think he's caked up, so he's doing all right, you know, good for him. But the thing is, you know, they want to make money wherever they can. I feel like it's like half genuine ideological separation from the rest of the left, which they, I guess, somewhat were a part of. They certainly were part of it. And when I say they, I mean Glenn Greenwald and Matt Taibbi. And partially because there is some money to be made in that other direction, and partially because they have big egos and they feel like they're not getting the respect that they deserve, or they never got the respect that they deserve under the Trump administration. Like, somewhere along the way, their brains fried. Seeing Matt Taibbi, of course, run defense and do corporate PR for Twitter is pretty wild.
Yeah.
Corporate PR for Twitter's new boss, who is a billionaire, is pretty wild. You know, these guys have done such incredible work. Li Fang as well, especially, have done such incredible work talking about, like, dark money, tracing it back, and talking about, you know, how a bourgeois state, designed for a capitalist purpose is always going to yield results like this. So then, like, cutting out the middleman, which would be the government in this circumstance, and going directly to the corporate mega donor and doing PR for them is in some ways worse, I think, than, you know, than working even with the government, I guess, because the government is bad because it works at the behest of corporations. It's not that, like, all forms of governance are bad and wrong and immoral across the board. I'm not some, you know, libertarian weirdo.
But they are. So, that's the point, though, Hassan. Like, the reason that we're kind of seeing that play out right now, Taibbi's criticism of Occupy Wall Street doesn't seem to be, when you look back on it now, tethered to any real leftism. It was just an opportunity, because libertarians are the ones that constantly want to undercut the government, and they'll focus on the national security state because that has the broadest appeal to leftists like us. I mean, look at how we view the Snowden revelations and Greenwald and how much that did for him in terms of currying favor with the left. That's all gone now. But yes, the left wants to undercut the national security state because we believe in other elements of government, and because the national security state is anti-democratic. The libertarian mindset is, no, that's a part of the whole thing that we want to take down. And corporations are that's a separate entity that we trust more, frankly.
It's just odd because, like, you know, the massive social media companies are obviously mingling with national security interests and basically give everything to the American government or whoever their foreign allies might be. Or whoever their foreign owners might be, for any given matter. I think there were examples of this with respect to Saudi Arabia, like, you know, unmasking, doxing, finding, you know, Shia, Saudi nationals on U.S. soil, if I'm not mistaken. And now they even have a bigger vice grip on, Twitter. Same with China, really. I mean, I'm not an anti-China person by any means. Yeah. Many people would say that I find Xi Jinping to be the top Xi, and a legend in his own right for all of the glorious work that he's done.
Many people are saying
with high speed rail. That's what other people say about me. I'm not saying that that's what I represent or anything. But you know, even then, I mean, this guy has Tesla facilities in Shanghai. You know, the Chinese government does have a lot of power over him. They could get access to whatever they wanted to, whatever kind of compromising information they wanted to. But I guess for Matt Taibbi, it's okay because it's like Elon Musk doing it and they used to be friends. I guess it's okay when, all social media offer back doors to the federal government, whether it be the NSA or whether it be the CIA or FBI. You know, that kind of stuff would have been really interesting, rather than the weird palace intrigue surrounding, like, you know, whether or not Twitter employees were stopping Hunter Biden's penis from being released to the public.
Which is totally understandable, asked by the Biden campaign. They were also not in government at the time. And again, the stuff that there were, we now know that Trump was making requests as president to take down Chrissy Teigen tweets, which, like, if the principle of what he was reporting on was consistent, that would be in some ways a bigger story. But, like, you brought up China, and I've been raising the alarm on the show for a while about the ramp up in anti-China rhetoric as, like, being basically the only bipartisan consensus in Washington right now. They were able to get the CHIPS Act through that, basically just by making it a Chinese competition bill, when you could have had a straight up domestic investment onshoring bill. But they're like, no, we have to do this in the xenophobic way. And then the whole crackdown on TikTok. Do people realize what the United States' record is in terms of data, stealing people's data here in the U.S.? We have an informally connected relationship with our government and our social media companies, as opposed to the direct Chinese government investment in TikTok. But it's like, it's, in my opinion, essentially a distinction without difference based on the way that our data actually had been dragnet hoarded by a lot of groups like the NSA.
Yeah. One of my favorite conversations surrounding this is, like, one of my favorite things about this entire story is that, China could just basically bypass having ownership over this massive social media company and just go to the data brokers directly, and it would probably make it would probably be more cost effective for them if they wanted to do, like, rampant surveillance on U.S. citizens. They could hire or purchase a Israeli surveillance technology that the United States also is currently commissioning, while simultaneously saying you shouldn't do that to your allies, to Israel. Or they could utilize Palantir, probably. I mean, I don't know. Actually, Palantir might not work with China, but I guess, like, if you give Peter Thiel enough blood, boys, he'll let you have it. He'll let you use it. So there's so many different ways of surveilling U.S. citizens. We do it regularly, like the United States government does it regularly. They do it to their allies, and then also on top of that, these data brokers basically release all this kind of information to law enforcement or to any kind of corporation that wants to sell you, balding medication, because you talked about it one time. So it's just, it is what it is. I think it's just competition. They don't like that, TikTok is a very, very successful social media platform, and that very successful social media platform isn't owned by the Silicon Valley tech giants. In some ways, I think this is the federal, government trying to, sell this off to an American owner, partially so that they can control it, and partially so that they can give, like, a gift to Silicon Valley, I guess.
Yeah, do you think that Meta's repeated lobbying efforts and campaign contributions had anything to do with the nature of those hearings? I mean, of course it did, right? Like, Instagram is terrified of TikTok, and Instagram's owned by Meta.
Yeah, for sure. I think that that definitely plays a role. And xenophobia also plays a role. It makes it feel, it makes politicians feel like they're doing work. You know what I mean? This is the political equivalent of you, like, opening up the Excel spreadsheet and, like, crunching numbers as soon as your manager is walking behind you. And then immediately you go back and switch over and you start watching the Majority Report in your headphones as soon as they walk away. That's kind of what they're doing as well. So it's like a win-win-win situation. You get to beef up anti-Chinese, xenophobic narratives, which is good because a lot of Americans are very chauvinistic and very imperialist, and they have the sense of entitlement where they feel like we are the number one country on the planet. How dare the Chinese, like, come after us and threaten our global hegemonic power status? So I think that plays a role in, like, garnering support from constituents to some degree, especially constituents who vote. TikTok everyone uses TikTok, but it's overwhelmingly younger, right?
Yeah.
And those guys don't vote, as we know. So that's probably another motivation, but definitely I think Meta and its lobbying efforts played a role in this as well, for sure.
Let's talk about one of your two senators over there in California, Dianne Feinstein, who I feel like the calls for her to resign because of well-documented in a like cognitive mental decline from her colleagues speaking anonymously to the media, to anecdotes that you hear just when you speak to people behind the scenes, to everything that's been said publicly. She's now missed dozens of days as the second most important Democrat on the Judiciary Committee. And we were seeing this with respect to abortion. The effort of the Biden administration to ensure that as many federal judges are confirmed under this now going to be 4 years, unless someone dies, of a Democratic Senate for the rest of his term. Like, this is an existential Democratic threat, getting all of these the right-wing takeover of the courts. So getting these judges through is incredibly important. And she's just been gone, holding up the entire process. Now, thankfully, she's going to allow them to replace her on the Judiciary Committee, which sets up a fight with the Republicans because they could filibuster it. If any of them objects to unanimous consent, which I would imagine that they will because they're Republicans. But, I mean, what's in California the general lay of the land about Dianne Feinstein and how people are feeling about her?
Well, as a California resident, I love that I'm represented by a 900-year-old person who is definitely who definitely has dementia, who needs to wear adult diapers, who yelled at like a bunch of kindergartners when they were like, "Hey, can you not leave behind a planet that is like a dystopian hellscape for us? Can you do something about climate change? We're scared." And she was like, "Ha, you can't even vote for me, bitch. Shut the fuck up." Remember Dianne Feinstein did that? I remember, because I thought that was girl bossing. That's right. Girl bosses. I love girl bosses who are older. I love girl bosses who are demented. I think that, you know, the American government needs more representation from fossil fuels. Not just the fossil fuel sector, but also directly like someone who was there when the sliced bread was invented, someone who was there when the chocolate chip was invented, you know, someone who definitely represents the interests of Californians, which is a deep blue state, supposedly. It's great. Yeah.
Well, here's this tweet. Speaking of some of the blue representatives in California, this is Representative Norma Torres. She says, "Dear Senator Feinstein, please get well soon." That's, I don't know. I mean, look, she's in the hospital for shingles, but the whole dementia thing, that's not going to get better. Okay. "When women age or get sick, the men, like Hassan Piker, are quick to push them aside. When women
I defended her, as you know.
But you are a man, so you're included in this. When men age or get sick, they get a promotion. Women's rights are human rights." This is also the line that Pelosi took, saying that I don't think this would be happening to a man.
Women's rights are human rights.
Yes. A good example of this is, like, I would love if Chuck Grassley would resign, another very senior member of the Senate who like tweets a bunch of typos about like there's pigeons in my lawn and all cap stuff that you think he's like trying to write to 911 over text, and he just ended up putting it out on Twitter.
"I was watching the History Channel."
Yeah, I just random. It was pretty good, Chuck Grassley. Random garbage like that. Both of them can go, and then that nullifies what they're saying there. That's my suggestion.
Yeah. It's just weird because, like, we kind of made Breyer retire, which is a good idea, right?
Yes.
So, like, that's a guy. You know what I mean? That doesn't really make sense on that.
Well, they
front.
Said the same thing when we wanted Ruth Bader Ginsburg to retire before during the end of Obama's term, and then look what happened.
Yeah, what happened was girl bossing. That's what happened.
You're right.
I think it's great that there's a young supermajority of like psychotic freaks that were all directly concocted in a laboratory known as the Federalist Society that now will make these decisions that will eradicate civil liberties for marginalized groups in this country. I think that's great. I'm glad that that is Ruth Bader Ginsburg's legacy. She deserves it. It's her time, and it was her time. And I personally thought it was awesome when, in the middle of COVID, this person who had cancer 11 fucking times decided to go and officiate a wedding in the middle of COVID without a fucking mask when she had cancer 11 times and was like also 800 years old. It just showed that, you know, women can do everything. Women can do anything if they want to. If they want to destroy the crumbs, semblance of like what remains of American democracy, which was always in theory to begin with, if you want to eviscerate that remaining shred, you should be able to do so. That's girl bossing. I think
that's what,
you know,
I,
that's great.
Yeah, I got that. That's why I got into this business, so I could girl boss and ensure that the trans agenda takes over, and that within 10 short years, every child is trans or non-binary. I mean, I know we don't say that out loud, but we do say it in our group chat privately. So I mean,
all the time.
Yeah, that is our goal, and I'm trying to bring about the destruction of the American family, and the only way I know how to do that is in a power pantsuit. So you guys will be seeing me dressed
and private property also, right, Emma?
That's true. Yeah. Getting a lot of private property.
I think that's why I am in favor of the gerontocracy that we have. I think that's great. You know, it's awesome. Yeah, I mean, Gavin Newsom also said, like, the classic, Joe Biden line where he was like, we're going to put a black woman in this position. Like, we're going to, you know, I'm going to appoint a black woman in her stead. And it's just like, why do you have to say that? Like, don't say that.
You're
undermining. Just do it. Just say you are pointing to the most qualified person to be in this position. When you say you're going to do it, you're going to appoint a black person, a black woman there, you're literally undercutting that black person's accomplishments,
right?
Like it's like such transparent pandering too. It's so silly. It's like when you know, leaders in the Democratic Party, unfortunately, I can't believe Gavin Newsom is one of them, openly take on the memes that the right claims about them and just they own it.
Yeah,
you know, it's so weird.
Well, it's so odd. Hassan, thank you so much for coming on, my friend. Really appreciate it. Any last words before we let you go?
No, thank you. Thank you for having me. I love the Majority Report. And, it's unfortunate that my real uncle, Sam Cedar, was not on today. But Emma, you're doing a great job.
Okay. All right. Well, then I guess that means, what is it? We're cousins?
I think so. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
It's a complicated family tree. But next time he'll be back. Appreciate it, Hassan. Talk to you later.
Right. Bye, guys.
Bye. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Francesca Fiorentini. What a fun Friday. We are back, joined by friend of the show, my buddy Francesca Fiorentini of the Bituation Room.
Woo!
Mother. You're a mother. That's all that matters now. You've given birth, mm-hmm. and so you are an actual woman. Thank you so much. It's so good to have a woman on this program, finally.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now mom and a little American flag emoji is in my Twitter bio, of course, yeah. and like lover of Jesus and all the things.
Yeah, you own a speedboat too. Your husband who drinks and drives on it. Right.
It was crazy. Along with the exorbitant hospital bills, was also a speedboat, which is insane. They don't tell you that about motherhood in this country. No universal pre-K, no paid family leave, speedboat, Emma.
You do.
The super yacht tax credit.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
For
exactly.
mothers.
Mm-hmm. If you dress your baby in Chanel and ask for one, you'll get one.
I mean, like, you are a true job creator, though, right? Because you've created a second job for yourself, which is taking care of a child all the time. And thanks for taking the time to like do the other multiple jobs that you have coming on and talking about politics.
I'm excited. Look, Emma, you guys were talking a little bit about feminism. It's interesting because shout out to Alexander Reed Ross. I was on a podcast of his where he's looking at the Italian left over, you know, time. And did you know the Italian feminist movement, and I believe the radical feminist movement in this country, at one time were arguing for paid housework, right? Like it would not only allow us to own a credit card, you know, like, you know, pay us equally. We're still fighting for equal pay, you know, right to an abortion and all the other things that have been rolled back in this country. But that at one point it was like, no, if you choose to stay in the house, this should be paid. If you're doing all the rearing of the next generation, shoring up that tax base, you know, like that should be paid. And so for me, I'm like the fourth or fifth wave feminist movement, whatever we're on right now, which is radical AF. Let's get that. I want that.
Well, that was kind of the child tax credit to a certain degree. And then Joe Manchin decided, actually, people got a little bit too big for their britches, so time to make sure that there's more child poverty in this country, just mm-hmm. to teach them a lesson, as a lesson treat.
Yeah, he only kisses hungry babies on the campaign trail.
Yes. Hey, baby, if you're underweight, you get a kiss from Joe Manchin. If you're overweight, I mean, your mother's probably spending... Welfare queen. Spending it on Cheetos for the child.
Yeah.
Putting aside the fact that you are a birthing person, let's
wow.
do some.
Wow, I need to. Can I? Thank you, Emma. That's been good. I gotta go now. You just said birthing person, and that was upsetting to me.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
No, yeah, I am. I am for sure. Birthing, nursing. Nursing doesn't make as much sense. What's up?
A nursing person is like that. Honestly, that falls off the tongue a little bit more. Rolls off the tongue a little bit better. Honestly, I like nursing person. Got a little bit of rhyming.
A nursant.
That's you. Let's do some like make fun of some right wingers. Lift everybody's spirits. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
Candace Owens. Let's start with that. That's a fun thing. What do you think, actually, Bradley? The DeSantis one, you think? Let's do this ad. Let's do this ad, because this is dumb.
Oh, yes.
So, a Trump super PAC came out with an ad, and I gotta say, when the story came out about Ron DeSantis eating pudding with his fingers, I didn't really care that much, right? It's weird, but we already know he's a psycho. I mean, he was a boarding school teacher going to parties with underage kids, it seems like, in town. And
right.
just by the
least
way
of
he
his
talks,
crimes.
Yeah, he just signed a 6-week abortion ban in his state. So I'm not that concerned about putting fingers. But for Trump, like, this is exactly what he wants to engage in. It's a mud fight. It's perfect for him. So a super PAC, you know, they're technically unaffiliated with Trump, but I would guess that they kind of know what he wants out there. Put out an ad about Mr. Puddingfinger's meatball run, and trigger warning, if you don't like seeing disgusting eating in slow motion, you might not want to watch this.
I was just going to say, it's aesthetically displeasing.
Yes.
I'm sad we can't hear it, but okay.
We're getting to it.
Oh, I think we are. Here we go.
Oy.
Ron DeSantis loves sticking his fingers where they don't belong.
No.
And we're not just talking about pudding. Oh. DeSantis has his dirty fingers all over senior entitlements. Like cutting Medicare, slashing Social Security, even raising our retirement age. Tell Ron DeSantis to keep his pudding fingers off our money. Oh, can somebody get this man a spoon?
Make America Great Again, Inc. is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
So, artistically, we got I gotta say, that was wonderfully done.
It's a classic ad.
The chocolate pudding looks like, you know, something else, so I think that adds to the disgust. The messy... I mean, it's you have a baby, you understand.
I'm not saying Ron DeSantis eats doo-doo, but doesn't he?
He does.
Like,
can you confirm that's pudding, or is it shit? Is it
look
diarrhea
like
in a
me.
Cup?
Also, I feel like the sticking his fingers where he doesn't belong is like potential is like almost defamatory. Like, I feel
of course
like
it is.
I feel like they're implying something much more than just putting in Social Security.
Yeah.
With that line of inquiry.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Look, that ad, like, I'm MAGA now after watching that ad, straight up. Like, that was a brilliant, beautiful ad. And yeah, I saw that he ate pudding with his fingers, and I was like, I guess that mimics a fork. And that is if you have, like, you know, dainty little lady fingers like me, you know, but, or like, you know, small, or like, you know, I was like, oh, okay, I guess, like, I'm, just the, like, watching, like, giant man hands just, like, scoop out pudding is absolutely disgusting. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's terrifying. Get you know, that man away from office.
The act of having something on your hands that's not a solid or like a liquid water running through it, it's kind of in the middle. It's like when you when your sink, you're cleaning dishes and like a bunch of food collects on the side of the sink and you have to scoop it up
and you
with
eat
your
it,
hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we all do that.
So it's
called leftovers and it's called being environmentally conscious.
Absolutely.
Bitch. Anyway, so like, I mean, that's what that's like. That's what freaks me out about it the most. It's the in between. It's this in between the solid and the liquid. I don't want that near my hands, let alone in like being scooped through with my fingers into my mouth.
I also appreciate that they simultaneously made a policy based argument out of
yes.
this, like that he like wants to cut like you know the social safety net, but at the end is like use a spoon, you goddamn freak.
Yeah,
if you're gonna cut social security for the elderly, at least use a spoon. Do it in one fell swoop, just not piecemeal. Like
have
we're gonna
some
do
dignity. Yeah,
yeah. Hide it in the budget instead of being open about it.
Well,
deny it, but then do it.
That's what's incredible, though, because when Trump was in office, I know that McConnell and co. wanted to do there's nothing more foundational to the Republican Party more than cutting Social Security and Medicare, like cutting social programs, also cutting food stamps. That's part of it, too. But that's a little easier to do because you can just poke the old welfare queen trope. And then it's also not universal program. So you're not going to get the same backlash because it's for poor people and they need it.
Of course.
But they always try hardest when it's a Democrat in office. And Trump knows this. Why? Because they want the Democrat to own it because these positions are so popular. And so, like, DeSantis has gone through the old school ranks of the Republican Party, Club for Growth guy. He's a true believer about cutting Social Security and Medicare. Can't say it publicly, but Trump knows that. And he's putting him in a bind about it. It's genius.
I think so, too. This is the one issue where I'm like, they should absolutely fight over it. And then, you know, the last dark Brandon moment we had was the State of the Union address where, you know, Biden got them to all swear that they would not cut Social Security or Medicare. And like, okay, you sure? And they're like, no, hell no, you know, right? And so you're like, okay, we're going to bring those receipts. But I mean, this is why, you know, Trump, he doesn't have to have a plan to not cut it. He could, like, again, you know, make sure that the budget ensures that there is no more Social Security and that there will be cuts, right? And Medicare as well. He could do all those things, but in sort of like openly, he's saying, I'm never going to cut Social Security. I wouldn't do that to Medicare. You know, I believe in healthcare for everyone. I don't have a plan. Of course I don't have a plan. But I believe in it. Vote for me. It's like the one semi-honestly populist thing that he has, you know, the edge that he has over DeSantis.
Yeah, I mean, if my pitch would be to any voter who is making a decision based on these ads or DeSantis's stance here, it's like, just vote for a Democrat, because these are not individual actors acting with their own set of incentives. They're all within the Republican Party. And so, like,
right.
There's a, no matter what Trump says now, if he were to get into office again, God forbid, the people pushing DeSantis to cut Social Security and Medicare would still be there pushing Trump to do it. He'd be better equipped to resist it because I don't think he has an ideological commitment to it. But at the same time, like, that's the risk you're taking when you vote for a Republican. Vote for a Democrat instead. How about that?
Yeah. Yep. I just have to say, now I really want to see Amy Klobuchar or someone reenact Amy Klobuchar eating a salad with a comb.
Far less disgusting than what we've heard here.
Maybe, but like, just kind of want to like the gritty comb that like, you're like, I should wash this, but you know, there it is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like a little dandruff buildup. And just like digging into a Panera salad like that. Absolutely. Like, you can't vote for someone like that.
But how do we know it's not the so there are different kinds of combs, as we are both aware. There's the comb that has many bristles, and that is kind of a rectangular shape. There's also the fork comb that's a little bit broader, and then it's pointier. And we don't know which one she was using. That latter one is a bit more acceptable, I would say.
For sure, yeah. Is like it for getting out little knots?
Yes.
Like, what are we talking about?
The pick one, like the pick.
Yes.
That could be, I would give her a pass on that. If she's out of a fork and it's just one of those pick things, she washes it off first. She can survive that. I don't know if she can survive the pudding fingers thing. Or DeSantis should.
It's such
rough.
A Seinfeld episode. But he ate pudding with his fingers.
Yeah.
With his fingers. How many fingers? Three. Interesting yes. choice. You'd think one. One
I mean,
is enough.
If he's going to be a sloppy boy, just do what everybody else does and, like, lick it from the...
Straight up.
Straight
just
up.
Shovel that into your gullet, Meatball Ron.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
Yeah, just push the bottom of the snack pack.
Yes.
That's more civilized.
Trump's like, the disgusting stuff I eat, the disgusting stuff you guys
at least
eat.
At least I don't touch it.
Yeah, I go to McDonald's. I know the whole menu from most disgusting to least, and you can relate to that as opposed to... pudding fingers over here. Who eats pudding as an adult anyway?
I mean, this is all like hearsay, so I feel like we're also going to see a little bit of there's going to be a Trump version from the DeSantis pack.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have like a little toadstool surrounded by, you know, some hairs that look like they belong to a Yeti, and it'll just be like, you know, this fungi grows in the dankest places. Do you want it on your plate? Mm.
Trump apparently has a mushroom penis. Do you want that back in the White House?
Oh my God.
Vote DeSantis. You can't vote for a mushroom dick. Well, sir,
no,
I mean,
he doesn't have the stones to do that. That's the thing.
No, I mean, like, very respectfully, sir. She did say that you had a mushroom penis.
Very, very respectfully, good President Trump, you have a chode.
yeah, and then
never.
Yeah,
I'd
and then
say that.
And Pence is gonna have to like verify like on the stage, right on the debate stage. Just like I've heard, it is quite chode-like.
Yeah,
I've seen it before.
Yes, I was at a tough angle because when I was licking his bare feet to kiss them. Maybe we have gone down this road, so I'm going to commit to it.
This is fan fiction at this point.
Commit to the bit.
All right, let's do this. The Bartiromo Giuliani call, because we didn't get to that, right, Bradley?
Oh yeah, okay.
Not sure if you saw this, Francesca, but this is about like a day or two old. But Alex Wagner of MSNBC ended up unveiling this new recording of a few telephone conversations. Between Rudy Giuliani and Fox business crazy Maria Bartiromo. The more incompetent crazies go on Fox Business. If they're not ready for prime time, that's where Murdoch will kind of hide them. But you can get your fix if you want over there.
Yeah, everything's more made up on Fox Business, believe it or not, than on regular Fox.
Right. And then sometimes if you're lucky, you're able to make the jump over to real-time Fox. But like oftentimes he'll like make it a graveyard for guys like Lou Dobbs and Maria Bartiromo, who's younger than Lou Dobbs, but like she's not under 40, so that's kind of aged out for the most part in Murdoch's mind.
She is also like weirdly like she used to be like, and I'm not even saying from my perspective, but like she was like a broadly respected sort of like business journalist. Like,
right.
She was initially considered to be one of like the so-called, you know, like normal ones on Fox. And now she's just like absolutely the most crackpot like nut job on the air there, basically. This right. side of Laura Logan, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And here she is speaking with Giuliani, discussing Dominion and their involvement in the 2020 election.
I'm going to be asking you for as much evidence as you can tell us about these lawsuits. Whatever you can tell us in terms of sure. evidence would be really helpful. Okay, great.
I can tell you exactly what we have.
Perfect. And, what about this software, this Dominion software?
That's a little harder
troubling.
To tell you, right. It's being analyzed right now. I mean, there are a couple of races that have been reversed because the Democrat was triple counted, two already in Michigan. Now, whether that applies for the whole state or not, I can't tell you yet.
This Dominion software, does Nancy Pelosi have an interest in it?
I've read that. I can't prove that yet.
Okay.
Can't prove that.
So that question there was about if Nancy Pelosi is financially invested in Dominion.
Yeah, I got to be especially interested in.
Do we know if that claim was made on air?
I'll see if I can find it.
Okay. Yeah. Because that's another interesting thing. But like,
I love that I love that Bartiromo was like, tell me exactly what you have. And he was like, no, of course, I'll give you everything. I don't really know what's going on with Dominion at all or anything like that.
And the point that this is, like, why this is important is that they went on air anyway and spoke about, like, a lot of questions to be answered.
I mean, effectively, on air, it was similar to that, right? Like, Sidney Powell went on air, you know, and was like, I don't know, I hear that Nancy Pelosi's invested in and just whatever, doing her little, like, as I call her, Talbot's Bigfoot, because she really is. Just like if a really Bigfoot is. Went into a Talbot's and was like, I'll take that.
It's amazing.
And, you know, hey, it's an upgrade from a normal Bigfoot. I'm sorry. But yeah, so that's what it was. It's like, you know, Bartiromo being like, and are we sure that, you know, Italian satellites didn't ping pong their satellite rays off of the Jewish space laser and then and then switch the votes? And like Sidney was like, yeah, that's exactly what happened, right? Like so it kind of is like, and I love how Giuliani's like, Bartiromo was like, do you have anything? Like, what's the evidence? And he's like, mm-hmm, yep.
Yeah.
She's like, great. So what can you tell me anything? I've heard it.
It really is also fascinating, too, that these calls between Fox hosts and communications between the Trump team were really regular. I mean, it's not like we on the left don't communicate with people on the teams sometimes of members of Congress who are on the left. But it's kind of rare. And for the most part, I'm doing it to book them on the show or something like that. We're not having strategy calls with the Biden administration or the Bernie Sanders campaign or something like that. That's what's so irregular. And then you pair that too with, like, Sean Hannity clearly had a direct line to the White House. He was texting them throughout January 6th. Sean Spicer, right? They were buddies.
Yeah,
was Spicer still in the office? No, he
was
texting. He was texting Meadows.
Meadows was super.
Everyone
embedded,
was
embedded
texting
with,
Meadows.
Yeah.
Yes,
right. Right. I was just like, can we make this a group chat? Because I'm really getting Mark a lot Meadows of this.
Mark Meadows and 250 others. Hey guys, it's me, Mark. So just to give some context, there apparently what we just heard was recorded on November 8th. And November 8th was a Sunday, and Bartiromo had Sidney Powell on when she had Powell on based off that email from that, like, crazy so-called source she had, who was like, the wind thinks I'm a ghost. Like, I was decapitated as a young child. That, if you'll recall, that
right.
that was the source of Sidney Powell's research.
Real deep thinker.
So the dispute, though, is whether Giuliani and Bartiromo's conversation happened before or after Sidney Powell came on.
Gotcha.
So it's in a sense, I guess, to see if like that undergirded what Bartiromo was asking about, even though she knew it was not credible at all yet.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's just it's These people are very craven. That's all I gotta say about that.
Yeah, it sounds like it happened before. Like, this is definitely a call that led to that interview with Sidney Powell that we've seen. That internally, Fox News was saying, what the F is she doing? This is crazy. Like, she's, you know, she's lost it. Which was initially their response until they realized it was paying way more to deny election results. And they're still doing it, right? Instead of, you don't openly have to deny, you just have to crap all over early voting. And then that gets you what you still want. I just think it is really funny, Emma, you even comparing, like, love the majority report, huge audience. Fox News level, no. Fox News, Sean Hannity campaigning with a presidential candidate or the president, like having a direct line. No, that we don't even have that. And even if you said, like, well, maybe MSNBC or CNN have like a direct line to the Biden administration. Yeah, maybe they do. But they're also like,
they're not on conference calls with with like Biden's attorney who is representing him in the special documents, especially in the special counsel documents probe. Like that's just not happening. It's just not. I mean, and again, we're critical of the revolving door. Like, why does Jen Psaki all of a sudden have a show on MSNBC? That seems insane. But like that,
Simone Sanders.
That is right. Well, yeah, she's it's, but
that being said, Peacock, if you're listening, your girl's hungry. Look, I'm a revolving door from the podcast world right into you and to MSNBC. I said nothing. This is you cannot hold this against me.
No.
Employ me. I will shill so hard for you. I'm obviously joking, but not really. You know what I'm saying? Because
okay, so this is also
I have
just
a Patreon and shit. What's up?
Yeah, no. What's up? What's up is that like. The critique of corporate media, yes, you can apply it to Fox, to CNN, to MSNBC, and say these are major corporations that are in their they're doing news for profit, and that creates a perverse incentive set. But then there's the massive critique about Fox News, which is separate from the overall corporate media critique, which is that they're a literal propaganda outfit. And conflating MSNBC and Fox News is irresponsible because you can the criticism of Fox or the criticism of MSNBC is that they are a corporate entity and that maybe they, you know, work too closely with some of the Democratic operatives. Fox is on another level, and I hate the false equivalence that I see sometimes online about that.
Oh, absolutely. Also, Fox just lies.
Yes.
Constantly. So there's that. There's like truth, a little bit of truth, and just all lie. All
and like,
propaganda.
What
all the time.
Some of the speculation on Russiagate on Maddow every night was ridiculous. It was like a completely dartboard Charlie Day meme, ridiculous levels. And I think we've conceded that point. But the lying that was I think she convinced herself of a lot of crazy shit. But the lying on Fox News is systemic.
Yeah, absolutely. That being said, that Russia stuff was riveting and not wrong in a lot of those, like in a lot of cases, except for like the P tape, which, to be honest, little disappointed in the Steele dossier hasn't borne out. And I feel like it's still out there. P tape is out there, guys, is what I'm trying to put out. That's all,
I mean,
all everyone needs to know.
We just played the pudding fingers ad. Why not? Why doesn't DeSantis revive that? It's because he doesn't have the juice. He doesn't have the juice.
I am the Scully. No, I'm the Mulder of the Trump P tape. I want to believe.
You want? That's a good one.
Okay.
That's a good one. Demian writes in, I feel like I used to see Francesca at punk shows back in the day. Is that possible?
More of like a jam band chick in New York. A few punk shows. Definitely anti-war demos in the early 2000s with like some crust punk anarchists. So
you're so much cooler than me. That's
not
the thing.
Really, dude.
I think that's the thing.
Nah, I'm just old. I think that's the difference.
I'm getting there.
Emma, what are you like 24 now?
Yeah, I turn 29 next week. 29 what? Next week. Yes, yes, I do.
Ooh.
Last year,
happy
my 30s coming
birthday.
Up. I mean, last year, my 20s coming up. Thank you. Thank you. Jay Tingle, the Taibbi Perrine podcast was produced by your own Matt Leck. Yes, that's true. Daredevil, Emma, Klobuchar used one of those little STD crab combs. Duh. What's that? Oh. Oh.
I mean, just I imagine like a fine comb. Very small. Like one of those like lice combs, you know, if
right,
your
but lice,
ever looked at your hair.
Lice of the other area. Now I understood. I was like designed like a crab. It has two arms. It's not. Nope.
She's just 29, folks. When she's 30, that's when the crabs come out the woodwork.
J-Man Raps, hey guys, great show today. Topped off by the great Francesca. Loved your show with Branko Marketich recently. Some of the left who I like refused to challenge Biden on Ukraine-Russia, so that was nice to see. Did we have Branko on recently? Oh, you had Branko on.
You guys, too. Anyway, everyone. Branko's a hoe.
Oh, Matt did. Gotcha. Yeah, Matt had him on. He's a hoe. He's everywhere. Fingered Ron. Okay. Many people call him Doo-Doo Fingered Ron, but I would never call him Doo-Doo Fingered Ron. Doo-Doo Fingered Ron is a disgusting name, and what Ron does with his fingers is his business. Unless we're talking about the schoolgirls and maybe boys he used to teach.
Mm-hmm. Doo-Doo Ron and Doo-Doo Don. We got, I don't know, it's all bathroom. They will absolutely show, like, drop trow on the RNC debate stage. Like, the Republican presidential debate will involve that. There'll be talk of hands. There'll be a talk of underage kids. Mm-hmm. And then Pence will just be there, like, praying in the corner.
Why don't we just do a weigh-in, like, before a boxing match, and they can get in each other's face, like, real close and start to talk some shit?
I would love if the debates were, like, sort of, like, UFC-like.
Yeah.
The ring announcer.
Yeah.
It's like, coming in at 6'4".
That is Trump's, that's Trump's kind of calling card, though.
He was there recently. He was there hanging out with Kid Rock and Mike Tyson at the most recent UFC event.
The reason that I feel like his calling has always been kind of like a pro wrestling role as a villain or something like
he's
that.
He's in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Let's talk a bit more about DeSantis, the Candace Owens clip here. So Candace Owens had on what's this guy's name again?
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yeah, he's kind of like a marginal presidential candidate for the Republican Party, and it's like
he's like the 2024 Andrew Yang.
That's exactly what I was gonna say.
Wow,
kind of rich guy with designs on making a name for himself with like a certain subset of people, branding himself in a way that gets him like ahead in his career with conservatives. So he has no chance to win, obviously, but this is just like an expensive kind of PR exercise. And he was on with Candace Owens and they talked about Ron DeSantis. I found her take here to be interesting because I say this a lot. Candace Owens overcompensates constantly. She's always going for the toughest take, the most extreme take, the closest it is to the id of the base, whatever she can do to make up for the fact that she's a woman and that she's a black person in a company that hates women and hates black people. Like that is how she tries to stay ahead of the game. And I think she's tapping into something that she's reading from some of her viewers, which fits into like how DeSantis is kind of falling apart here.
I don't have an issue with Ron DeSantis. I'm just a gut player, and I just my gut instincts about him is that he's very practiced and he's very rehearsed. And that's all I've said. I haven't really given a reason. I haven't been able to eloquently state what you have just so brilliantly stated right there about Ron DeSantis. I love him as a governor. I said if I lived in Florida, I'd be voting for Ron DeSantis. I think he's done a good job as a governor,
but
I don't trust him on the world stage. I said I don't trust him to be America first on policies. And I do feel that he is beholden to his political consultants. And he's beholden, more importantly, to the donor class. And I feel like that whole weekend with Trump, he's talking to see how maybe talking to his biggest donors of like, what should I say? Because his biggest donors hate Trump, right? That's why they're getting behind him, because they're so dumb
exactly
with Trump.
Right.
And so he doesn't want to upset them by not saying the right thing. And I felt that with him and was unable to explain that to my listeners. And I'm just so grateful that I asked you that question, because that's exactly how I feel instinctively. And I think that you are reading that correctly.
Instinctively. Interesting. This also comes as Florida Republicans are speaking to the Miami Herald saying that they are getting impatient and they want to support DeSantis, but he needs to shit or get off the pot, essentially. And, like, what is he waiting? I don't think he's going to run at this point. Sam had said that months ago, and I was like, are you serious?
He's, like, torpedoing any goodwill he's had by continuing to drag this out. I think you're right in the sense, almost, like, what's the point of him doing it now?
Yeah.
Wait till 2028.
He should, because, one, challenging an incumbent if Biden runs again, no matter how geriatric and, like, you know, middling his approval numbers are, is a difficult task. Plus, with the state of the Republican Party right now, it doesn't seem like they're still able to leave the Trump cult behind, so that sets him up to fail in the general election. If I were him, I would not run. The problem is just, like, he's a psycho, and his ego is enormous, and there has been a years-long ramp-up to make him Trump without the baggage because he went to Yale. And as he'll say the same kind of stuff in public, but there's some implicit understanding with the donor class Republicans behind the scenes. Like, you know, you're a little more serious than Trump. We can handle you.
Yeah, and they really want him to run.
But why should he? Like, at this point, it does not... He has been pussyfooting so much around, and he's let Trump build a whole narrative about him. I'm sorry if that's an offensive term. I don't know if that's the...
Yeah, pussies are strong. I'm a mom, trust me.
There you go. as a mother, how do you feel about Ron DeSantis maybe not running?
As a mom, there's things I just can't say, actually. It's radicalized me to a very extreme degree. And now he's just passed a six-week abortion ban. So yes. Tight. A lot more moms coming at him in Florida. But I never even considered him not running. I never even thought that he would not run. I feel like he's wanted to run. He just needs to resign in order to run. And he's scared. So, you know, he's acting like he's a little bit afraid that he is going to lose, because I think he will lose. I don't think he's going to clinch that nomination at all. And he knows that he would have to demonize the MAGA base in order to do that. And he wouldn't win. So you're right. It makes more sense to wait till 2028. That being said, you think Trump's not going to run again? Like, he can always keep running. So, like, there's no sign that, you know, he'll have any more of that base. He can maybe channel the energy now, whereas in 2028, when however many more lawsuits Trump's got on him, like, I don't know if it's better to wait or better not to wait. But I just Candace Owens being like, I don't know about him on a national stage. Will he be fashy enough, you know? Just like, will he be too much of a globalist, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if, like, just like Trump on a world stage, did he make everyone proud?
Yeah, he just was meeting with white supremacist Nick Fuentes and Kanye West, speaking of the globalists. Like, I mean, that's what she thinks works on a world stage. No, she didn't say national stage, because I am of the mind that Trump's baggage is just way too much to overcome to win over enough moderates to have any real shot. And I, you know, he's like Teflon, so it's hard for me to say that. That could bite me in the ass. But in 2016, I thought there was a very good chance that he could win, and I just don't have that same sense now. But, like, it just, to me, she makes this case because she wants to be one of the first people to say it. And, like, the Daily Wire hasn't been... none of these... Her colleagues want DeSantis so badly, but she's just a little crazier. She's got more nuts up there, and the Trump stuff, that's where the base still can't quit him. This is like one of those relationships that your friends is in, and it's on and off for 6 years, and there's cheating, and you're like, Jesus Christ, can you just end it already? But they keep coming back. That's how the Republican base is with Trump right now, and it's going to leave them in a much worse position at some point.
And it's fascinating what the examples are. It's fascinating what the examples are that they do bring up, or that Trump brings up, in terms of, like, world stage stuff. It's like they just like when he acts like a mobster, basically, when he's like, oh, I made NATO pay more. Like, I was saying, like, oh, you're not paying enough. Or, like, I sent Abdul I think he just says Abdul. I don't even know who he's talking about when he talks about Abdul from the Taliban. He's like, I sent him a picture of his house.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what I'm talking
about. I'm really
about.
Worried
right,
about
Tucker?
The other N-word, nuclear.
Right, right. Going on. saying that nuclear is the one of the two N-words and then proceeding to say it 25 times in 5 minutes.
Y'all, I mean, sorry, Bradley, you're making a point. But
no,
so that's just so funny what they like to emphasize about like his like
seriousness,
like his foreign policy.
What about when he sat down with Kim Jong Un? No barriers to that meeting. Just wanted to do it. Fine, huge win for Kim Jong Un. Yeah, yeah, why not? Oh yeah, nuclear armed North Korea. Let's do it. So all we need to do is sit down with them.
He's
like, with
you're
him.
Super cute. Kim, yeah. You're looking really
and
cute.
And before that, he was calling, they call him Rocket Man.
Right, little Rocket
he
Man.
Was giving a speech to the United Nations saying, we all call him Rocket Man.
Rocket Man, oops.
And they
let one slip.
Rex Tillerson in the audience, like, hello, darkness, my old friend. Come to them.
The other thing that I love, here's what's been like bothering me about the right and the way that they pretend. Like, they are not the most bought and sold MFers in the entire media landscape and in the country, right?
Yeah.
The Daily Wire gets its money from the Wilkes brothers, from gas and oil. Like, that's how they all get started. But, like, somehow everyone else is bought and sold. Everyone else, you know, like, they're independent. They're free thinkers. No, they're not. You work for industry. That's how you have your shiny little, you know, like offices and can offer Crowder way too much
those
money.
Those are the good corporations, right? And then that's what Republican critique is of corporate America. It's just come to the good side. There's no structural critique. They don't believe in systemic issues. So how could they have a structural critique of corporations?
Right.
Massive
handouts from the government every single year, all of those subsidies.
Yeah.
Socialism for the rich. Corporate welfare. Like, just like, stop pretending that you're so independent, man. Like,
no one is a free thinker. No one. No one is a I hate the term free thinker because I'm sorry. We are all operating in a society. No one's fully free of influence from other people. Like, I think it's important to actually be an advocate for other people and their thoughts, like trans people or black people or indigenous people. Like, I'm not free of those influences.
You're
I'm
not free of empathy? Wow,
yes,
Emma. You're so like held back.
I am proud to be an influence thinker. It's just because my influences are the good ones. Like, I mean, and I think that's what the Daily Wire is trying to appeal to. Like, you too can be a narcissist and feel that your thoughts are completely siloed off from society, and that everything that you think of comes from this like deeply unique place that's just yours. And it's atomizing. That's what conservatism is.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Francesca, I know you have a little bebe to get back to, but
I mean, I'm chilling, y'all. Okay. If you
but
guys want to,
you want to do well. We gotta take a break because I gotta call into the phones and stuff. I just figured this might be a natural point for me to ask you to plug the Bituation Room here.
Oh, everybody, the Bituation Room is my podcast, and we stream every Tuesday and now Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for asking. You can listen wherever you get your podcast. You can watch on YouTube at Franny Fio. You know, I am not bought and sold. Like, I agree with you, Emma, but like, I'm, you know, when you take a vow of poverty, and by that, I mean, have a child,
yes.
You know, you're just kind of, you know, you're relying on that sweet, sweet Patreon. So, yeah, everybody check out the podcast. Emma's been on. Sam has been on. God,
it's
like a year
show.
Ago now.
Yeah, we should do it again sometime soon.
Yeah, you should come back on.
Yeah, I would love to. Anything else? We're going to head into the fun half in a second. The number is 646-257-3920. Francesca, really, really appreciate you. You know that, right?
I do, and I appreciate all y'all. Thank you for having me. I know even if Sam and Matt are out, you guys have been crushing it, holding it down.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just like I've said this a million times. It's just like unbelievable how I'm just so thrilled that we didn't have really any technical issues this week that only Matt could solve because he
because knock on wood.
Yeah, he like if people were to see the setup here, it's the most convoluted crap ever.
And Matt's the crypt keeper.
He really is. He knows like
he has all the
weird
knowledge.
Wire to tweak, yeah. And then everything's fixed. Right. But
he's
anyway.
On the Soros, you know, right. grand jury. So
yeah, the Soros money pays a little bit better, I think.
It does. It does.
You would know. All right. Check out the Bituation Room. We'll put a link to the Patreon in the description of the YouTube show, podcast, majority.fm. Thanks so much, Fran. Appreciate
Thank
it. You. All right, guys. With that, we're going to head into the fun half. The number is 646-257-3920. On ESPN, we spoke about the NBA playoffs. The official playoffs start tomorrow. Final play-in games tonight, if I'm not mistaken. Right, Bradley? I mean, the Knicks play tomorrow. That's all. I'm getting ramped up for that.
Yeah,
amped up.
Tonight is the Heat and the Bulls. And
the Thunder.
And the Thunder and the Timberwolves.
Timberwolves,
yeah. to get for the
And Gobert will be back for that.
Yeah. Nice.
So Maybe that'll be good. We talked about a lot about that. Also how running backs should unionize or strike because the union is a collective players union in the NFL and they don't necessarily represent the interests of kind of frontline players like running backs most effectively, so I want them to use their power. YouTube.com/ESPN show. And on Left Reckoning, just check it out.
Yeah, Matt and David had Paul Prescott on Tuesday to talk about the legacy of Tony Mazzocchi, labor leader Tony Mazzocchi, and then Chip Gibbons on to talk about the squad's letter to but the Biden administration calling on them to rescind their extradition request for Julian Assange and to drop charges against him.
Good.
YouTube.com/LeftReckoning and Patreon.com/LeftReckoning for the postgame.
And go to shop.majorityreportradio.com to get your limited edition effing dork shirts. They are not going to last. Shop.majorityreportradio.com. Those are some fun shirts. All right, guys. See you in the fun half.
You are in for it.
All right, folks, 646-257-3920. See you in the fun.
Oh, no.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
What, who sent us this?
Anarchy. Alpha males are back. Back, 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 back. Boy is back. And the alpha males are back. Back.
Just as delicious as you could imagine.
The alpha males are back, 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 back. Boy, back. And the alpha males are back, 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 back.
Just wanna degrade the white man.
Alpha males are back, back.
I take all of it to my throat.
Alpha males are back, 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 back.
Snowflake says what?
The alpha males are back, 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 back.
You are a madman!
And the alpha males are back, back.
Oh no, Sam Cedar! What a fucking nightmare!
Yeah, or a couple of them, just put them in rotation.
DJ Dinner.
Well, the problem with those is they're like 45 seconds long, so I don't know if they're enough for the break.
That's fucking nonsense.
You see white people doing drugs that look worse than normal white people, and all white people look disgusting.
And the alpha males,
psych. Fuck them. Fuck them.
Snowflake says what?
What?
Snowflake says what?
A hell of a lot of bang. A hell of a lot of bang. A hell of a lot of bang. Okay. I'm making stupid money. A hell of a lot of bang. A hell of a lot of bang.
All lives matter. Have you tried doing an impression on a college campus?
I think that there's no reason why reasonable people across the divide can't all agree with this. Psych.
And the alpha males are back, 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 back. And the Africans are black, 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 black African. And the alpha males are black, 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 black. And the Africans are back. Back, back, back.
When you see Donald Trump out there, doesn't a little part of you think that America deserves to be taken over by jihadists? Keeping it 100. can't knock the hustle. Come on. Fuck them. Fuck them. Things I do for the bigger game plan. By the way, it's my birthday.
My birthday. Happy birthday to me, Jew boy.
I have a thought experiment for you.
And the alpha males are back. Back. Africans are black. Black. Alpha males are black. Black. Africans are back. Back.
Come on. What? Come on. What? Come on. Someone needs to pay the price for blasphemy around here.
I am a total.
Pussy. 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 Pussy.